Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much for that reading. Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to do a commentary on day 28. I'm going to start with the verse at the top.
Are you speaking? Because we can't hear you.
The verse reads, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." And this is taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 12 through the first part of 13. This is from, a lot of times in the Bible, they call this the feeding of the 5,000, and it's found in other Gospels too, but this particular reading was taken from Luke. And I always like that reading. As a child, it was always lovely, and I guess it has something to do too with my compulsive overeating to think that Jesus was able to take so little and to feed so many. But in the passage, as I was getting ready for this, I thought back to that first part where it says, late in the afternoon, the twelve apostles came to Jesus and said, "Send the crowd away." And I underlined, "Send the crowd away." And it brought to my own mind that there have been times in the process of trying to help another that I have just felt overwhelmed. I have really just wanted the Lord to strip the responsibility from me. I wanted God to send the crowd away, quote unquote. And I was thinking about even one time when, before the abstinence that I have now, I had had about 4 years of abstinence. I had done a lot for that abstinence in terms of legwork. I had helped to bring meetings to the area where I was living. I had shared many, many of those meetings. I had sponsored a lot of people. I was doing a lot of work. I was going to step meetings, doing big book meetings, lots of things. I was doing those things. And I got to a point where I just was overwhelmed. It was like, I think it was what was the straw that broke the camel's back was when I got pregnant with our third child, and I came home from work one day, and I was working too outside of the home. I came home from work one day exhausted, and I started to just get something to eat, and just something went boing, you know, and just I just started eating like there was no tomorrow. And I remember being so embarrassed because, like I said, I had about 4.5 years of abstinence, and it just hit me out of nowhere. I didn't know where it had come from. And I just ate and ate and ate, and it wasn't until later, and that was a big key. I always tell people, you know, sometimes I can try to push the Lord to, and I didn't know the Lord at that time either. I was in a church, but I didn't know, I didn't call on the Lord. I did not know him personally as my Lord and Savior. That did not come until about 8 years later, even more, actually. And so I was pretty much, as I look back now, I was working on my own strength. And so, like I was saying before, I wanted to know why I had started to eat after so many years. And as long as I pushed it, tried to figure out why, I couldn't get any answers. I had to let go of the why and go back to the how. And the how was I needed to look back to what I was doing when it was working and to with the best of my ability to do it. And it eventually came down to putting the food down no matter what, no matter what my emotions were saying, no matter what was going on. And eventually I learned to call on the Lord, and I came to know Jesus as my Savior. But that was, like I said, it took me a long time to understand that for me, it cannot just be a one-legged stool, as they call it in the AA program. They call it a three-legged stool, that it is not just physical, but it's emotional and spiritual. The physical, definitely, I need that in terms of I need to have a clear plan of abstinence. And that clear plan of abstinence is important for me because part of my recovery is to be able to give it away. And if I cannot clearly communicate to myself what my abstinence is, believe me, I will not be able to clearly communicate it to someone that the Lord will send behind me. So I definitely need that physical abstinence. I also need the emotional abstinence, and this is why community is so important, having people that I can speak honestly about my feelings, and as a Christian now, to speak honestly about my faith, because that is also growing and unfolding, and being able to speak about my feelings and talk to others who understand is important. So the physical, the emotional part is important, but the spiritual part is extremely important. And that I am really understanding for me what Jesus meant when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well." And as I really abandon myself to my spiritual program, which is growing in the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have other parts of my program given to me. My emotional and my physical part become strongly established. And in order to grow in the spiritual part, I really cannot live apart from the Word. I must read it, I must study it, and I must live it. And part of the living means that I hide it in my heart. I have to work on memorizing, understanding, practicing what it means. And these meetings are very essential for me to be able to do that. But in that verse, it says, send the crowd away. And later on it says, so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place. The reality of my equipping, my having the tools to do what needs to be done by me, cannot be gauged by my feelings alone. If it is mine to do, God will provide the means for me to do it. And so when I read there, we are in a remote place, it just seems like, again, I've had those feelings that I have been in a remote place, that I don't have what it takes to do what needs to be done. But the truth is that if God is calling me to do it, then I have been equipped to do it, and I can stand on that promise. And Jesus himself said to the apostles when they said that they didn't, you know, they couldn't do it, you give them something to eat. And ministry requires work, and this is why I must keep close to God. Busyness can masquerade as ministry. And through busyness, I can experience burnout. I told you how I did. I experienced that. Ministry involves God's goals done through His Spirit. in my redeemed heart. So the question becomes, what is a call? And it also becomes a matter of abiding in Jesus. He definitely wants me to do ministry, but he wants me to have that understanding that it's his ministry, it is not mine. And I need to abide in him. I need to draw close to him, or I will certainly experience burnout. In that reading, it speaks about an instance that I had once of a person who called me one night. I remember I was actually working. I think I was working on my physical, I was working on my job, not even, you know, doing work for the program. I was doing work for my career, and I was working. And I got that phone call, and I really prayed, and the Lord did. He gave me the willingness and the strength to truly just put aside what I was doing and to listen to what she needed. And that's the neat thing about prayer I'm grateful for. When I become aware of what I call my offness, I pray for the willingness and the strength to do what needs to be done. That's such a beautiful prayer that I don't know, I no longer have to push or pull myself into submission. Because I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I can pray for the willingness and the strength to do what needs to be done. There's a beautiful verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." He does that. He will, it's for his good purpose, and he will work in and through me. And I am so amazed. He does it over and over and over again. I'm grateful, so grateful for him, for what he does. In that next paragraph, it says, I shared with her that it always helps me to get my Bible out, read a passage, and then pray the same passage. And the Word of God, as it says about itself in Hebrews 4:12, is powerful and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. There have been times when I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. But I open up the Word of God, I read a passage that is meaningful to me, and then I go back and start praying that passage, put my name in that passage, praying, you know, summarizing what my eyes see in terms of my particular circumstance that I'm in. And I start realizing the power of God as he speaks to me through his Word. That is why in the 12-step rooms they talk about prayer and meditation. Praying is when I speak very clearly about my needs to the Lord. But meditation for me as a Christian is reading and studying and applying his Word, because that is when I hear back from him. And I hear the truth from him in his Word. And as his Word says, his truth brings freedom. I will know the truth, and that truth will set me free. And I'm grateful for that. In the bottom of page 87, it says, I prayed again, and the Lord heard my prayer. And continuous prayer is for my benefit. God hears. I don't always hear myself or have the faith to believe, but God hears. And as I keep calling out to him, he hears his child crying out. And he does not turn away from his child. And I am his child because of my surrender to Jesus, and I'm grateful for that. At the end of the reading, it says that she had been strengthened and I had been blessed. God is so, so good. Obedience brings blessings, and I cannot say that to myself enough. When I obey what the Lord tells me to do, I can be assured that I will be blessed. Later on, Aisha is going to read the prayer that is found on page 88. But I had underlined two things in that. One is that it's not about me, it's about the Lord. And Jesus even says that in Matthew, he says that if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. That's in Matthew 16:24-25. And it says, I pray to abandon every thought that I can help another in my own strength. I cannot help another in my own strength. I can't. It's never in my own strength. It has to be in the strength of the Lord. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask Maisha if she could share what the Lord is placing on her heart because of this passage, and then we'll hear from you. Maisha?